Speaking of some women's college hoops, Angel Reese is headed to the WNBA draft. Her time at LSU has come to an end, and this is a pretty tough transition, but as we talk about things coming to ends and the A's in Oakland, it is looking more and more like that every single day. Chris, Casey Pratt. Actually, there's a lot of stuff that broke yesterday. I mean, Casey Pratt had some things to say, and you had Dave, Carmichael Dave, with some things to say as well. And right now, it's just a waiting game. The meeting was today or is today. I don't know if it's happened yet. And I'm just going to read through some of these tweets from Casey Pratt. Today is the Sacramento meeting. Sounds like the A's would staff up in Sac by using Kings, Rivercats, front office infrastructure, leaving many behind in Oakland. And this is what broke yesterday after we were off the air. This is from Casey Pratt. So here's what I'm hearing. A's met with City today. A's meet with Sacramento tomorrow. A's have internal meeting Thursday. Some employees have been told SAC is happening. Layoffs likely incoming. Stay tuned. 916-339-1140. It's very simple here. How do you feel? How do you feel if you're in Sacramento or anywhere around Sacramento? If you're an A's fan, if you're a Giants fan, if you're a neither fan, how do you feel? There has been many battles and wars going on in social media of a lot of people feeling differently about this stuff. And if you are not, it's tough, man. I mean, I like to live my life and really put myself in the shoes of others before I speak on anything. And to hear somebody that isn't an A's fan have a certain take, or have somebody that isn't connected to Oakland, or even if you have, even if you live in Sacramento, I think I would be okay with that as well. But if you're neither, it's kind of hard. You can have an opinion, but it's kind of hard for anybody to say that you have any legs to stand on. I know from the Sacramento side, if you're a Giants fan in Sacramento, or you're not a fan of the A's, right, in Sacramento, I do wonder how they feel, because I hear a lot of people, and I'm not going to name names, but if you don't have an affinity for baseball, I actually don't know why you're speaking on this either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there's people that you don't care about A's, you don't even follow baseball, but all of a sudden you have a take that just has to be said about this situation because you're from Sacramento, so you know it would be good for Sacramento. But to me, I guess it's the whole, well, if they got to go somewhere, but it's just how you say it.
I think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think you just described me. Because, like, I'm kind of, I know how horrible it is for Oakland, but I'm kind of excited to have a baseball team here, like, if they're going to leave, right? I'm not a big baseball guy. I think this could help me out, maybe become a fan in Sacramento. I have never, my whole life, never cared about baseball, never played baseball growing up until I started to work here. And I was like behind the scenes. I produced A's games here, board opt A's games. So I was essentially forced to watch the A's play. Yeah. And if they're here, I know, like, my girlfriend doesn't care about baseball, but if we would go to games probably, and we would, like, my dad would probably want to go. Like, it's fun. It's different in the ease of access. It's not Oakland. It's arguably a better stadium or the same quality. So I don't know. I'm pleasantly optimistic about what's going to happen, but I definitely feel for Oakland. But if there's no other way, it's like, why not?
Well, so, yeah.
I think that's kind of one of the most messed up things about this is that when they, I should say if, still should say, if they move here, it's like, you know, they're not going to get any A's fans. They're not going to get Sacramento A's fans. You're not going to get Oakland fans. I'm sorry, you're just not. Like, maybe you're going to get the stray couple people, but I think that you would have to, if you're the A's and being realistic about the people who are going to show up to your games, it's fans of opposing teams and people who aren't there who weren't previously A's fans. I think you've officially lost everybody. We've talked to people here in Sacramento.
Agnostic, like Nates, basically.
You're getting Nates. You're maybe getting me on occasion. Like, but it's also on occasion. Like, they're, I mean, the A's are dead. I mean, if they move to Sacramento, the A's as we know them are dead because the fan base is not going to follow them to Sacramento. They might go to a game here or there as a, you know, oh, I love this team for a long time, here's my send-off, or, you know, they're going to be completely gone, so this one trip might be better than nothing, but you're not going to get people following the ins and outs of what's happening with the Oakland A's at all. I don't think anybody is going, because you've already upset everybody who was an A's fan, even if they were here in Sacramento. I don't think a lot of those people are going to cross the other side of the line. I just feel like I don't know who the fan base that you're going to actually get will be. It's by nature almost going to be people like Nate who were completely agnostic and then just say, oh, they're here, I guess I'll watch them, root for them, maybe I'll follow them after they leave. I don't know how many actual current baseball fans are going to become fans of the team just because they move here, which is what I think part of the sell job is for Sacramento.
So, if I'm not mistaken, Sutter Health fits 14,000. That was the sellout when it was Giants River Cats.
Right.
So, 14,000. And we know... Let's not even talk about that opening day because we know that was a sham, right?
It was a wrong number.
The 13,000. The next or that weekend, as the A's are literally about to play right now, but that weekend, their attendance was at 5,000.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay. So that is not even half of Sutter Health.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Oakland. That's essentially opening week. Or the opening series. So now you go to Sacramento between, because the whole thing is that Vivek wants this to look good.
Yeah.
So between Nates and random
opposing
people.
Fans, right.
Well, yeah, I'll put them in a different one.
Okay.
So you got a certain percentage that's Nates, right? Mm-hmm. Who are just agnostic. Hey, they're
something
here.
Something to do.
Really not that expensive. Yep. Let's go grab a hot dog. It is what it is. Go Sacramento, right? You have them. You have opposing fans, and then you will have some A's fans that want to see them off.
Some.
Is that enough for? Because you have to pack this out because it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at 14,000 every single night?
No, I was gonna say it sounds like you're outlining one night.
Yeah,
like if we're talking every night. What is it? How many games? Home games? 81 home games or something like
right,
that?
Right. Just split what 162. Just split that in half. So 80 something.
81, and that's. I don't think so. I mean, you know, like right now, I mean, the A's are playing today.
And
it is a Wednesday.
Red Sox.
12:45.
Yes.
But even then, I mean, a 12:45 first pitch in Sacramento on a Wednesday, even if it is the Red Sox, there will be Red Sox fans who show up. But is that going to be, what, is that 4,000? Is that 2,000 people? Is that 1,000 people? Is that 5,000? And how many of those Red Sox fans would rather... You know, go to see Oracle Park and go see, maybe who knows, you know, ticket pricing might play a big factor into that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not fully convinced. And, you know, there is as well the factor of part of the fun of getting a team is rooting and following for that team. This has been expressed to me by many A's fans. You don't want to root for this team.
Right.
This team is trash.
Right. They're just not very good. And the issue, and when they do have somebody good, they send them back to to the minors. The issue ultimately is it's just people not fully knowing why things happened, what is actually happening next, because the take of, and this is from Casey Pratt, and I see some texts and some calls coming through. Because Casey said this last night. There's a lot of doubt, and he's on vacation, by the way, and he's still working. He said he's in the doghouse. Casey, you'll be okay. Trust me. You stop tweeting a little bit, though. Casey Pratt, there's a lot of doubt surrounding the A's Las Vegas plans. Why do you think Vivek is so eager to bring the A's to Sacramento? It's a bit of a finder's keeper situation. People think if they are hosting the team when Las Vegas flops, they'll have the best chance to keep it. Now, he continues. The issue is granting the A's owners amnesty for the next 2 to 3 years and getting them out of their jam essentially punches their ticket to Vegas. So the logic is flawed. Now, I do know that there's still some things that need to happen in Vegas with the Board of Education out there, right, and still creating that stadium. But I do believe that a lot of Sacramentans, their whole take is if they're leaving anyway,
right,
why not come to Sacramento? I believe, based on what Casey is saying, is they're not necessarily leaving anyway. They're in a jam, yeah, logistically because of the TV money, and this lets them out of the jam.
Right.
And it gives them a life raft, and you're assuming, which is possible, anything, yeah, is possible with John Fisher, you're assuming that this could fall through, and then Vivek just gets to add on and, yeah, gets the Sacramento A's, but will that happen? And in the process, you know, I know there's some A's Kings fans be very confused as to how you feel about, right, Vivek, yep, as an owner, and this is right here. And there are a bunch of texts coming through and calls, tons, as well. 916, and I want to read this one on purpose. Oakland had its chance, and it's a dump. Keep the A's here in Sacramento, and I'll buy season tickets. That's from the 916. To me, that's just a lot of people, and if you don't want to do the research, don't do the research.
Right.
Okay? And you can have
ignorance
that take.
Bliss,
there are people that are going to have that take, yeah, right? And for a multitude of reasons that go outside of baseball.
Absolutely.
But It's not that simple, and it's not as if Oakland didn't want to play ball. They raised the money,
mm-hmm,
and the A's didn't want
to
play
raise
ball.
The money,
and they continue to raise the money. Let's get to Daniel, who wants to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. What's up, Daniel? What you got for us?
How you doing, man? Doing pretty good.
Good, good. What you got?
Yeah, I'm from Sac, man. Love the Kings, all the sports here, but you know, my question is, like, you know, if we're going to be the side piece, kind of, you know, dump off for the A's, if we're going to, you know, bring the A's in here, does that mean we have to bring in the crummy ownership that comes with that, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a great,
yes,
call, Daniel. Thanks for the,
yeah,
call. And the answer is yes.
Yes.
They're not selling.
As a matter of fact, you're in bed with them.
Right. And
not only,
and
not
by
only
the
are
way,
here,
by the way,
a, you're an accomplice.
Daniel, Kings fan, Vivek, last week, yep, with Jake Gaydon on CBS,
yep,
he said straight up that him and John Fisher, who, yep, is right now, if we're doing a power rankings,
right,
for most hated owners,
yes,
right now, at one point it was Washington.
That's right.
Right now it's the A's. Vivek said, that's my boy.
Yeah.
They're boys.
Yes. Allegedly. Yeah.
He said it.
He did. No, he said it. Yeah. But
he
then Tim Kawakami said that apparently that's not true. I don't know who you want to believe, but yeah, no, Tim, it's not a great look. I mean, regardless of even if the Sacramento doesn't end up getting this team, I do think there's going to be a lot of people who look at Vivek a bit sideways for this. Like, this is, because it is undeniable that there is a shred of hypocrisy in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's undeniable that you saved this team from this exact kind of situation, and now you're aiding and abetting this situation to happen to a different city, but since it works for you, this time it's okay. That's a really, really tough situation to be in, and I understand, you know, I get it. I love Sacramento more than maybe anything out there, and I understand Vivek's going to frame this in the, hey, I understand, but that's how business is done. And at the end of the day, I'm trying to build out Sacramento, and it sucks for Oakland, but this is going to make this market into something that they weren't going to get the opportunity to be otherwise. And if we don't take this opportunity, it's not coming back for Sacramento. And so,
yeah,
it is unfortunate, and it's just a really weird push and pull that I don't know which side of the picket fence, if you will, I'm going to end up on. I keep talking to people, and I keep getting swayed back and forth, but I just think that it's a really, really messy situation that is only going to get worse if this thing does get confirmed.
At the end of the day, if Vivek knows for a fact that, hey, if John Fisher, no matter what he does, he's done,
yeah,
with Oakland, then as a businessman, I could see why Vivek is saying, well, if this man is telling me that, right, he's done with Oakland anyway,
yeah,
I'm going to miss out on it because some people might be upset with me.
Right.
I understand, yeah, Vivek's logic, yeah, even if, because it's okay, we're either going to convince them something's going to fall through, or they're going to stay in Sacramento, yeah, or we pack this place out every single night. The expansion thing, I don't believe. I don't believe in Rob Manfred, yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen. Got to get to a break. When we return, continuing with the conversation, your texts are all over the screen here, and I will be reading them also, the Sac Chat. Also, a star receiver goes to Houston. What does that mean for Brandon Ayuk? And also, should Malik Monk still win Sixth Man of the Year? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Having a complex conversation about the A's in Sacramento. And here's a take that, again, I get it. This is from Devin the Dude in the 916. Diehard A's fans here who grew up at the Coliseum. I'm coming around to being excited to see Major League Baseball in Sacramento. I still hate the ownership, but the allure of baseball in Sacramento is too big. I want to go with my son to a game and wear our A's hats proudly. Mm. Devin the Dude. So that is part of, and thank you, Devin, that is part of the, what is the three that we said? We said people that are just kind of agnostic fans looking for something to do, opposing fans, and then people like Devin who are A's fans.
But kind of caught in a bind.
Yeah.
I do want to say, too, and, like, I don't want this to come off as wrong, too, but I do think, like, A's fans also right now are at peak emotions. Like, this is not a, you know, like, they're going to say, there's no way I'm going. This is a travesty, you know, Vivek. I'll never support the Kings or anything he does ever again. And, like, you know, like, I definitely think that A's fans need to be given their room for kind of letting those emotions out, because I've been there, and at this point, you don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear, oh, Sacramento is actually a nice, you know, a nice consolation prize if they move. They're not in the mood to hear any of that. They're focused on keeping the team in Oakland. And I do think that you might run into an A's fan here or there that just doesn't have time to hear anything when it comes to this Sacramento front. They're just so upset at how this team has been stripped from Oakland that they really don't want to hear any of it.
Let's hear from Scott, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Scott? What you got for us on Styles and Watkins?
Hey, guys. Pleasure talking to you today. You know, I've been a A's fan, Warriors fan, Raider fan. So it's not something that's unusual to me to see a team leave, unfortunately. Mm. I know I'll buy a block of tickets if they come, for sure. I haven't been following the A's basically since the Rivercats lost the A's affiliate. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope Vegas falls through and we get a team. I think it'd be a great thing for Sacramento.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Scott. So, yeah, so, look, there are going to be people. Again, I think Scott falls into the same realm as Devin and some of the other and some of the other A's fans out there. Maybe you're just numb to it, right? Teams are going to move. And teams are going to do what's best for them. And what are your options if you're an A's fan? That's my question. You know, you don't want to be a Giants fan. I have a buddy, one of my closest friends. He just decided he's going to be a Cubs fan. He has no connection to Chicago.
I mean, it's a guilt-free pass, right?
And he's actively, you know, prop talking against the A's at this point. And I know it kills him.
There you go.
I know it kills him. Yeah. And I know he's going to sit there and say it is what it is. And he saw it coming, but I know it kills him. And I know that if they come to Sacramento, it's still going to kill him because he's still going to be close enough to drive.
Yeah. I mean, in, you know, that I'm kind of half tongue in cheek here, but like in a way could maybe A's fans turn this on the A's and, it almost sounds blasphemous, but like, do you consider, like, if you are going to pick a new team, picking one of their rivals? Like, do you become an Astros fan because your hate for the A's becomes so strong that it's just, I want everything bad to happen to that organization because they left. And mm-hmm. I'm going to root for their biggest rival, even though, you know, obviously I've rooted against that team for a really long time. Now, that sounds a bit insane, especially because if you flip it on its head, no Kings fan was going to become a Laker fan right. because they were that upset at the Maloofs. I don't think, at least. But no,
probably
I mean,
out there.
It does open up the window for, again, if you want a guilt-free pass to maybe pick a new team that, you know, operates like an actual baseball team, then now is definitely your time.
530 from the 530. When the A's leave Oakland, I will stop watching baseball. I was a Raider fan. When they left for Vegas, I gave all my gear to the Salvation Army and stopped following the team.
Beautiful.
Sell the team. 530, if you are able to text back. I am curious, when you do something like that, right, like you did with the Raiders, do you have a new NFL team? Would you still right. root for a different baseball? Or I guess you say you'll stop watching baseball. Did you stop watching football?
Right.
Now you have a sports fan that can't watch sports. Right? Or is choosing not to watch sports. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Dirk, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Dirk? What you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name's Kirk, but that's okay.
Sorry, Kirk.
Oh, no problem. I think the bottom line is if ownership remains the same, the outcome would remain the same. He clearly has demonstrated an unwillingness, the non-enthusiasm to improve the team, regardless whether it's in Oakland or Sacramento. It could be in some obscure city. I don't think that would change. Now, if Vivek wants to go ahead and claim stake to ownership, then I think that many of the Sacramento rooters and perhaps some of the Oakland ones, too, would go ahead and jump in. But if the ownership remains the same, what's the incentive other than being a placeholder for the move to Vegas?
No, thanks for the call, Kirk. Yeah, if Vivek at least becomes a part of it, it would be confusing, just as this whole thing is, because Vivek is taking some power away from Fisher, but also at what cost, right? You go Thanos here. So it's tough, man. Somebody on the 209 or from the 209 saying, I'm becoming a Detroit Tigers fan because of a movie. That's Tigers? Are they on their way? I mean, I know if you're going to choose them, I mean, I guess you don't want to be a front runner, but you got to do what you got to do. When we return, continuing the conversation, should Malik Monk still be Sixth Man of the Year to come as well? And also, Stephon Diggs traded to the Texans. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Oh, man, oh, man. Well, it took a while, but if you were listening to the crosstalk from early this morning, it has made its rounds, and Big Bro had to come in and show some screenshots of something. I have no clue. I mean, we have numbers as well. And, you know, business is booming. But I guess, what does he say? Oh, yo, actually, we should ask them, since it's Warriors out there. Draymond, insecurity speaks loudly.
That's right.
So, like
light
I said.
Yeah. Light it!
There you go. As we were. Malik Monk. Sixth Man of the Year. Chris, there's no way he falls out of it, right? There wasn't enough time for that.
You wouldn't think so, but, you know, I know Naz Reid is putting up crazy numbers over there in Minnesota. I think he's started to get some starting action in there, but, you know, it feels like Malik has kind of let it, you know, I feel like his numbers do the talking more than enough, and, you know, what he did all year, it shouldn't just matter what you do at the end of the year. It feels like Malik definitely, I feel like, staked his claim for Sixth Man of the Year. I can't think of anybody else who was as impactful as him all year long.
I'm checking here and what the odds are now. And obviously they update them ever so often. It's still Malik. Naz Reid would be the issue. Naz Reid would be the issue, yeah. And then your boy, Norman Powell. But that's really, right. it's Naz Reid, and it's actually getting a little closer. Malik is at minus 130, and Naz Reid is at minus 100.
Ooh, okay.
So it's getting a little bit closer than we think, and it's probably and I'm assuming that they didn't change anything, because I was going to say it's probably because Carl Anthony Towns has
been. Right. Yeah, no, that definitely will play a little bit of a factor into it, and I think, like I said, I'm pretty sure Naz has gotten some starts here with Cat out, so I don't know how that affects things. Like, do you get six man of the year points if you're a starter, but you only a starter because somebody got hurt, and so you're
right.
Technically not a six man. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how voters factor in that. And then, of course, the I believe the 65 game rule doesn't apply to six man of the year voting. So that will also be, I believe Malik still crossed the 65 mark, but that shouldn't play a factor into who wins six man of the year. I think Malik still got it. I mean, when you just talk about, forget numbers, but just like sheer impact, it feels like Malik, I mean, he was the de facto starter anyway. Like, he put up starter numbers. He finished games for this team. His importance is that of somebody who's more than just your typical bench player. I think he really does exemplify what the Sixth Man of the Year award is about. It feels like, to me, he should definitely win it.
Well, and yeah, the thing is, I mean, the only thing is if Naz Reid just goes off these last couple games, and let's say because of him, they do get that one seed, then I could see, all right, well, you know, we get it. But I mean, what Malik Monk has done and everything he means to this team, it wouldn't feel, and I hate using the word fair, but it wouldn't feel very fair.
Yeah.
Due to injury, especially when it was pretty close. It's not like it was halfway.
Exactly.
It's not like it was halfway through the season here.
Right.
It's literally, and what Malik finished at 15, he finished at 15 and what, 5.5?
The assist, too, that's the biggest thing for me, is I'm pretty sure he led everybody in bench assists as well. So not only was he one of, if not the most prolific scorer off the bench, he also was setting teammates up, and that's so much more that is asked of any other bench player. Like, typically, even if you are you know, one of the six men of the year candidates, you're mainly just like a 15 to 20 point per game scorer off the bench, and that's all you're asked to do. Malik is asked to be a scorer, but also set everybody up as well. That's not typical. That is not usually what is asked of that position, and I just think Malik is the clear option.
Naz Reid, 13.3 points per game and 5 rebounds a game. Mm. With 1.3 assists, so I would assume he's averaging more rebounds than Malik, but obviously Malik, as of right now,
right,
has him in the points category. So, you know, it's the least that everybody can do after how they did De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. If this goes south, and it would, again, be to somebody on the Timberwolves, because
right,
you had
Cat,
Carl Anthony Towns, who slid in there as well. And Malik, 2.9 rebounds, so he was pretty much right at 3 rebounds.
Yeah,
I think it's Malik.
I feel like it is, and I'm looking at his numbers now too. Like, you know, you got 15 points. That's third in the NBA in terms of per game. You have 3-point percentage. He wasn't the most prolific 3-point shooter out there, but even still, he hit just under just over 2 threes per game at 35%. And then, of course, yeah, the assist numbers, Chris Paul and Austin Reeves are the only two players to have more assists per game than Malik, but I believe he leads in assist total. So he's done it all this year. And, you know, it's not like, you know, the Kings definitely aren't near the top of the Western Conference, but he did it for a team that desperately needed it. And again, without him, if the Kings were in this situation, like you said, for a month and a half where they didn't have Malik Monk, they're probably slipping a lot closer to the 10. I don't know if they'd slip all the way out of the play-in, but that's where this team probably would have found themselves in a lot of trouble. I don't know how many other bench players hold that kind of value for that team. If Naz Reid missed a month, and they still have Karl Anthony Towns, I don't think Minnesota's going to – they're going to hurt, but I don't think they're going to hurt nearly as much as what Sacramento would hurt.
That's a good point. And we're getting to around that time where we ask the questions, oh, well, what's the definition of MVP? Right. What's the definition of sixth man of the year? What's the definition of most improved?
Still trying to figure out the clutch one.
What's the definition of most clutch? This is around that time when all of these conversations come about, and I think it would be hard, especially with, to be honest with you, could you make the argument that Shams really, I mean, a lot of people, especially because of the dunks and things like that, Malik was the most well-known, or most talked about Sacramento King this season, mm-hmm. and you talk about how some of the other guys have a lack of a brand or not a strong brand in De'Aaron Fox and Domas as they continue to try to build it. Malik Monk, because of how he plays, it just pulls people in. So I think that might save him as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, you get all the highlights. I mean, you get the big dunks, you get big threes, you get crossovers, you even get some blocks in there as well. Like I said, man, like he really fits everything that you would want in a sixth man of the year. Malik brings, it's the excitement, it's the spark, it's the scoring, it's the not only scoring, but he also is setting people up. He's not super selfish coming off the bench, and he has a really important role to the team. You can't draw it up better than that. Like, that is the definition of the most important bench player of any team in the NBA this year. He's got the highlights, he's got the attitude for it. And, you know, I do think that it would be, you know, even though we've talked about how it might hurt him in negotiations, I do think it's a really good feather, and I feel like I keep using that term now, feather in the cap of, no, man, like, I was asked to do this role, and not only did I do it, even though I think I could have done more, I was better at it than anybody else in the league.
He better win it.
He better win it, man. You said that Nas still hasn't overtaken him as the favorite?
No, he hasn't, but
he's close. You said 100 to 130?
It's 100 to 150. Oh, and okay. I don't it definitely wasn't that close.
Yeah.
Excuse me. 100 Nas minus 100, Malik Monk minus 130.
Okay, gotcha. So they're both minus, actually.
Yeah.
So you can't even make money off of Nas. Wow, that's, I mean, yeah, that's interesting.
That was FanDuel. MGM has Malik at minus 125 and Naz Reid at plus 100. You have DraftKings at minus 135 and Naz Reid at plus 100. So there's only FanDuel is the only one where they're both in the minus.
Interesting. Well, I mean, but if anything, I mean, those are all signs pointing to, who knows? I mean, maybe if Naz Reid has a big week, you can sway some voters, but I mean, the bigger point is I really don't think that Malik missing 10 games here at the end of the year should ultimately tank what he's done for the entire season, because he's just been so big. He's got a game winner, which I completely forgot about. Maybe the ugliest game winner I've ever seen. The one-handed, one-footed, off-the-glass game winner against Golden State. What more do you want, voters? I seriously don't know what else you could have asked for than the season that Malik gave. And, you know, I don't know if Sixth Man of the Year gives a speech, but I'd love to hear what Malik would give for his acceptance speech.
When we return, a little bit of crosstalk.
A little bit.
With the Drive Guy. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins.
Doing a little crosstalk. Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys in here. Whitey, I actually have a question for you.
Yes. Alan By the way, can I say something first? May I?
Absolutely.
Really enjoyed your conversation about LeBron. Pod talking about spacing and all that. Yes. Really, that was interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts off that? Oh, yeah, I know. He hates it when we talk about the LeBron podcast.
Oh, really?
He just hates deep analysis on basketball.
I mean, it was great that he mentioned the Kings, but it's funny because I understand your reaction about the Steph stuff. Like, he probably should have said Steph. But I remember the year Kobe and the Lakers beat Orlando in the finals. they were running kind of, they were one of the first teams, if not the first team, to run that four out stuff.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know if LeBron was being disingenuous about Steph or not.
Yeah.
But either way, I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah. I even said it. Like, I don't even think he's wrong. It felt like he was trying to think, you know, Steph is the first thing that comes to my mind, but how do I think of the next thing that comes to my mind? And, you know, yeah, Rashard Lewis. I mean, Hedo, your friend, Hedo Turkoglu.
Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and they obviously had Dwight kind of mucking it up a bit, but no, I mean, it definitely made sense to me. I wanted to ask you, did you see Jerry West making the Hall of Fame for the third time?
Right.
I didn't know that was possible. How is that possible?
I assume once as a player. Him.
Okay.
Once as a member of the 1960 Olympic team, I think.
Gotcha.
And then this is as a contributor.
Which is, I assume, like him being a GM is what that would mean, or is it just a global ambassador of basketball?
Good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assumed you would. I don't know why I assumed you might have that answer.
GM / a consultant. You know, he did stuff with the Warriors, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just thought being inducted three times into the Hall of Fame seems like something that is noteworthy and pretty cool. I can't imagine anybody else has been inducted three times into one Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think, to your point, Jerry Lucas only one time.
That's right. That's right. And this man, Whitey, is working on trying to get Jerry Lucas in town or on air.
Yes.
Whitey, did you hear the Draper call on the dunk?
No, I've heard about it. Of course, like you guys, I was there. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I haven't.
Nate, fired.
I know
up.
What to do.
Powell got caught up. It's sloppy right now.
There you
That's
go.
That's good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It is good stuff. And Keegan Murray, first time in his career, taking over 18 field goals in back-to-back games.
How did he make that other one? The hand wire went up and it like bounced
off his
right. wrist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about
rolled
that.
Rolled around and
yeah.
Yeah.
I you know, that's what happens when you're developing like Keegan, you know, you gotta figure out different ways to score, and I guess that's what that
and
was.
Then, you know, he looked up and then I guess he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna
act like I knew it was gonna happen.
What have you thought of Keegan's playmaking? I know we kind of looked at each other when Keegan mentioned his playmaking the other day in his press conference, and then yesterday kind of had a little dump off to Sabonis in
that
the pick and roll.
That was a pretty pass.
It was a really, I mean,
even
that's
Domas
that's,
gave what, him that same look did. You and I gave each other, huh?
What have you thought about Keegan, not only, I mean, his scoring, but his, I guess, improved playmaking too? Or what it could potentially do or mean?
I don't know how you feel, Chris, and dear listener, and Alan. To me, that's one of the things that you can't really teach. You either have that court vision,
yes,
which is not just seeing it, but just knowing instinctively,
he's there,
he's moving, he's going to be there, and the defender's there. And Keegan hasn't really had to use it much, but it looks like it's there.
Yeah, which I wasn't sure before.
Right, right.
So it's good to just see that it's there.
Well, I know what you mean, because that was Sunday when he said, yeah, being a distributor is new to me. It's like, is that a joke?
And I think you or Brendan, I saw look at the stat sheet immediately and then was like, you had three assists. Like, what are you talking about? Even last night, he has two assists. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the Knicks, of course, and we got that all going tomorrow. I mean, Whitey, I would say this, you know, we do prop talk on this show. I would probably take the under. I think it's going to be a pretty gritty game tomorrow.
What is he under, 140?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that.
I don't see, and we're going to get to the Jalen Brunson. Tom Thibodeau had sound after yesterday's game about, all he kept saying was, he's getting fouled, he's getting fouled. Mm. He said it like 10 times and then just walked. Here, we have it.
He's getting fouled, he's getting fouled, he's getting fouled. He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled. He's getting fouled.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. Hey, thanks, Tom.
And now that worries me now, because now it's makeup day.
Oh.
And everybody, he's going to get a bunch of calls.
Yeah, maybe so. Did you hear James Harden after the game last night talking about the Kings' defense?
About the blitzing?
Yeah, and he's like, they did a really good job there.
Yeah.
We're going to do a double team. you can tell he didn't want to talk, but he gave the Kings in a roundabout way a lot of credit.
Yeah,
and they asked Paul George, how do you get him? How do you get Harden going? He's like, hey, I'm not a coach.
Yeah,
next question.
You heard that too. I thought that was so weird. Our guy Law Murray asked PG in the locker room. He said, you know, how do you guys get James more going?
Because it's been like a month since he's had a 20-point game.
He was 1 of 7 last night, and clearly they could have used a scoring punch, and I think it's a fair question. How do you get James more involved? Do you pass him more? Do you try and set him up? Do you tell him, hey, we need you to score? What Paul George says, I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not a coach. I'm like, what kind of answer is that? Next question. He did say next question, too.
And we talked about it earlier in the show. Yeah, there were some people that I won't name from last night saying it's pretty much a thing that either Paul George or Tyronn Lue will not be back next year. Maybe both. And they have issues.
Is this the last dance for the Clippers?
Did the dance ever start?
It's been a long song.
Didn't even get an invitation, Whitey. You know,
there's an intermission and stuff in the middle.
We took a lot of calls, Whitey, really not too long ago on the A's. And just getting the pulse and the feeling from everybody around, and in actuality, not really.
People are upset that they're losing 1-0. Is that what you mean?
That's right. That's right. I think they're happy that it's only 1-0. If you want the A's to win, and there is a part of this, and Chris and I, we basically broke down into three categories. You have the fans that aren't really into baseball, but hey, that would be cool for Sacramento. You have fans of other teams. When you're talking about filling the stadium, fans of other teams, and then you have A's fans that I'm just still going to be an A's fan. The question is, that last one, we had somebody on the text line say, I want to take my son. I went to the Coliseum growing up. I'm an A's fan. The question is, once things cool off and Oakland is just fully out of the picture, if that happens, could that section be bigger than I think we're giving it credit for?
Sure, maybe so. There's going to be a lot of people that just, I don't care about all that. I've got enough problems in my real life.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for fans that are hurt. I mean, I don't feel that way, but I would understand how some people would be like, there's a game down the street. I like baseball. I'm going to go to it. Mm-hmm. If that offends somebody, I'm sorry. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't feel that way, but I'd certainly understand people who would. Mm. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I to me, it's pretty clear this is a Vivek hoping to scoop and score.
Yes, you know? That's what Casey Pratt said. He said everybody, whether it's Salt Lake City or Vivek, they want to bring them in hopes of, he said, finders keepers.
Yeah,
something falls through and we're already here. He also is saying, in his estimation, and hopefully we can get him on. I know he's on vacation pretty soon. Why he thinks that negates all of the Vegas issues. Because I do believe that there are a bunch of Vegas issues. So some of those, I guess the TV deal and stuff like that, yes, you free them of that jam. But as far as I know, there are also issues within the deal for Vegas that have really nothing to do with what the A's do in the interim.
So, Sacramento doesn't care about that, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're just hoping that that deal falls through and then they'll have maybe a leg up on keeping them.
Yeah.
Even that is, you know, it's kind of got to thread the needle on it. But as far as that was one of the things that's bugged me, all the talk of, well, we'll have a team for 3 years and we'll get to show, we being Sacramento, we'll show baseball that we deserve an expansion team. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but to me, it just looks really like that's a real long shot. Mm-hmm. How many teams is baseball going to add? Maybe 2 in 10 years, and Nashville's going to be one of them. So there's a shot, but that's a real long shot. So I think the play is hoping that this Vegas thing falls through, we'll have them here. Vivek knows Fisher. Hey, I think that's the play.
Yeah, no, I mean, the expansion thing doesn't really make sense to me. Like, that feels like, I mean, it didn't make sense when people were saying that that's what Oakland should have thrown in their negotiation. I just don't think that that's, I mean, A, even if you do get some form of, okay, we'll consider you, what does that mean? I mean, considering the source of what it's coming from, like, Rob Manfred's already announced what he's retiring in 2027. I can't remember what he's already got an exit plan here. I don't think that this man's word really means much at this point. And I don't know why the Kings in that kind of situation would sell their soul for the word of John Fisher and Rob Manfred. Those are two people those are the last two people I would believe anything that those two say.
But I don't know what you guys have heard. we probably have pretty much the same sources. I heard today that tomorrow could be an announcement.
That's yes. what we heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the most part, I feel comfortable saying from everything I've heard, it sounds more of a matter of if than when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also kind of heard that
or
last
when,
week, too.
When rather than
when
if.
Yeah.
Than I did kind of hear that last week, too, yes. though. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't have to wait to hear the Drive Guys.
We're just playing Drape's call on.
Just play it on loop. That's what I wanted to do.
That's all we're doing.
That's what I wanted to do.
Good show.
Our best show.
There it is.
He got him. Somebody called 911 because Murray just caught a body.
There you have it. Thank you to listening to Styles and Watkins. We will be back tomorrow. But until then, you got the Drive Guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.